The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but wonder, why should you obey the Bible when you're not even sure the Bible is true? Well, my friend, there are always ways to test truth claims. The Bible has stood the test of consistency, historical accuracy, archaeological confirmation, and fulfilled prophecy. Yes, truth can be tested, just as we can test the truth of politicians. For example, it's easy to tell if Elizabeth Warren is lying. Whenever she lies, her lips are moving. I know, that's an old one. What can I say in an election year? I never get tired of it. Actually, Lizzie has been talking a lot about truth lately. Elizabeth Warren, should she get elected president, wants to make false statements on the internet against the law. Translation, she wants to make comments she disagrees with against the law. She wants to make comments that criticize her against the law. Unfortunately, to the left, false information usually means no more than a politically incorrect viewpoint. But since Warren has such great credibility as the arbiter of honesty, perhaps I should take this seriously and make sure I only write or say things that are true, especially if I'm talking about Elizabeth Warren. Here goes. Elizabeth Warren has never told a lie that she didn't think she could get away with. Speaking of truth statements, Clint Eastwood, whom I have always respected as an actor, director, and rare outspoken Hollywood celebrity for conservative values, is unfortunately losing it. He just endorsed Michael Bloomberg. While Clint says he does like some of what President Trump has been doing, the tweets bother him. He also wishes Trump would behave in a more genteel way. Granted, Clint, those tweets are not nearly as effective in getting out a message as your empty chair routine at the 2012 GOP convention. As for being genteel, how genteel did Bloomberg come across when he was saying that under a new care system, people in their 90s should not be treated for cancer in as much as there will only be so much money to go around? The only thing, and I mean the only thing Bloomberg is saying which makes sense, is that he does not want America to become a communist nation. And yet his magazine, named after him, Bloomberg, has been instructed to do no investigative reporting on any candidate except Trump. Bloomberg may hate communism, but apparently he has no problem with Pravda. Meanwhile, what Trump's enemies actually do, they continue to accuse Trump of doing. Now we're hearing that Trump pardoning anyone who loyally worked with him is an abuse of power. Well, don't worry about it. After all, in these past 3 years, how many have really been loyal to him? How many from within his own party, his own cabinet, his own intelligence agencies, and his own Justice Department? Two? Or is it three? Just so we understand, when President Trump pardons someone, he's a dictator. When President Obama issues 212 pardons and 1,715 commutations, he's exercising his constitutional rights as president. More wisdom from the leftist media. See how it works? They just make this stuff up as they go. The rest of us are supposed to roll over, play dead, and let these elitist windbags blather on with their arrogant, sanctimonious pontifications. We're supposedly too stupid to challenge them. Well, have no fear. Senator Lindsey Graham will soon be rushing to the rescue. At least that's what he keeps telling us. Regarding the deep state attempt to take out Trump, we've heard a lot from Senator Lindsey Graham this past year. Here's what we're going to do, Sean. What we've yet to hear from Lindsey Graham, here's what we've actually done, Sean. Not exactly moving at the pace of the Daytona, are you, Lindsey? Speaking of the Daytona, clearly it would not have rained at Daytona had Trump not visited. Maybe Schiff and Nadler should start an investigation. And now joining us for his own take on the news of the week, say hello again to National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
Well, thanks, Bob, for having me once again. It's an honor to be here.
Always good to have you.
Not quite golden microphones, but you know they're good enough. Good enough to do the job.
Yes, referring to Rush's golden microphone.
So I've been doing some thinking, and I've come up with a couple things I've decided. One of them is I don't want no coronavirus.
Very good, Mike. I don't think any of the rest of us would have thought of that.
Okay, well,
no wonder we bring you on for your astute observation.
It's not like I kind of don't want to have the coronavirus. I definitely don't want it.
There you go.
Okay.
I think you can make a little folk song out of this. Don't want no virus.
Don't want no coronavirus. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't want no Bernie Sanders for president.
Oh, boy, that's for sure. Well, I don't want no any of those Democratic candidates. They're all just Bernie Sanders with a mustache anyway. He's the honest one who calls himself a socialist. There's nothing that isn't socialist about any of them.
So something you're not going to see reported, but something I believe in my heart to be true, is that right now the Democrats are joyful over the coronavirus. They're desperately hoping that it breaks through the quarantine measures and it knocks down the U.S. economy. I truly believe that, Bob.
Well, yeah, they don't want the virus, but they do want the economy to fall at any cost. At any cost, yeah.
Yeah, at any cost. But it's...
I have been concerned about people like George Soros trying to work the economy in a negative way. I'm not saying he'll succeed, but I have no doubt that he's trying.
So it's a very, very interesting situation. And even the folks that are reluctant to ever attribute any kind of conspiracy to anything, acknowledge that we really can't trust what China's telling us about the origins of it and what the infection rate is,
yeah.
And even what the death rate is. And the thing it's a double whammy on China, because even before the coronavirus hit, their economy was staggering. It was stuttering and faltering because they had gone into the trade war with the United States. And I said this, you know, several years back, is that in a trade war, the United States held all the cards, and all the people that you know, are supporting the status quo were predicting gloom and doom. But the United States, well, partially because the United States, you know, was such on the unequal side of the trade that, you know, they had the cards because they had such a massive trade deficit with China. It actually put them in the driver's seat.
We've always had the cards. We just needed a president with the guts to play the cards.
Exactly. But the other thing is the United States is a tremendously blessed country. We have the most arable land, most productive land in the world. We're really, really self-sufficient. Short of coffee, which would be a bad thing. We would hate to lose coffee. We can really... If we wanted to, I'm not saying we should do that, but literally we could shut down our borders and be entirely self-sustaining. We have the manufacturing base. We have the natural resources. We have the energy. We've got pretty much everything there. And
we don't even need that Middle Eastern oil.
And we don't,
of course,
right.
We never did, but we had environmentalists shutting down our drilling.
So we have tremendous cards to play in any kind of, you know, trade war battle, so forth and so on. But so China was staggering, their economy was faltering, and along comes this coronavirus. Now their economy is just plunging. It's going down the tubes.
Now what kind of effect will that have on the world economy?
Well, here's the thing is even though with Donald Trump coming into office, that created enough uncertainty in the minds of other countries of the world the countries in the world were starting to diversify their supply chain, beginning to realize that depending on China too much was not healthy, and it's not healthy. So it's still going to have a big effect because, okay, and here's a very concrete example. About 80% of the medicine, the supplies, the chemicals that we use to do antivirals and antibiotics come from China. China, using predatory trade practices, has almost wiped out our pharmaceutical industry in that sector. So, and also in the masks that you need to protect yourself, they're all in China now. And China's now stopped shipping that stuff there. Very similar to what we allowed to happen with the rare earth minerals. The rare earth minerals are absolutely critical for jet airplanes, for radar, for all our defense systems. And we let China, with the Republicans, I'm going to say the Republicans, because I don't expect much from the Democrats. The Republicans sat and let China completely co-opt our rare earth mineral production. And we still have some of the largest deposits in the world, but we're not producing it anymore. And then the Republicans and their Democrats side let China, a country that views us as their enemy, take over the production of this. So we're now sitting in this situation here. So China is staggering, their economy's faltering, and they now have this lever they could use against us. Here's another thing to think out there. This is a country, Bob, that has turned its turned its head and ignored, or maybe even sanctioned, organ harvesting, the one-child policy, you know, mass brutality to its own people. It in order to try to hide the coronavirus outbreak, it even restricted medical professionals, the health organizations in China, from moving effectively to stop it from happening.
Well, I actually heard, no, this wasn't China. I heard that in North Korea, they actually killed the first person they had coronavirus and stopped it. You think something like that may be going on in China?
I don't know.
We're just not hearing about it?
But I guess my point is that, so China is willing to treat its own people miserably, callously, and let them die. Now, one of the things that would really help China right now, at least in the minds of these Chinese leaders, because the Chinese leaders are very proud, arrogant people, the Chinese communist leaders. You know, they're showing them disrespect tremendously makes them very angry. So if the United States were suddenly to have a massive outbreak of the coronavirus, that would equalize things quite a bit. Right now, I mean, the gap between China and the United States is growing. I mean,
so you're saying China's not just lying to save face, that they have a subversive motive to equalize things?
I don't think that that's, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that I don't think they had it at the moment. I'm just saying is that we need to be careful about this because right now, I think it'd be naive to think that China wouldn't do something to intentionally
bring more people. When we come back, I'm going to ask what do you think we would be able to do about it? It kind of sounds like a helpless situation, but let's put a hold on that. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. We'll be right back.
Bob now at 888-344-1170. That's toll free, 888-344-1170. Bob may have strong opinions, but he also likes to hear what you have to say.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel, joined today by National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So, a few weeks ago, when the United States started restricting flights into and out of China, the Chinese government was screaming and you're talking about how horrible this was, not fair.
I'm waiting for some bleeding heart liberal judges to start screaming too now, and trying to issue injunctions against it.
That has gone down because since that happened, of course, then they had to, you know, put massive quarantines in place themselves in entire cities, you know, cities of 10 million people quarantined, multiple cities. I think they had something like 60, 70 million people quarantined, something in that range. So they have not that, but I guess my point is that we need to be careful. And, you know, be careful about who's coming in out of this country and be very, very vigilant of this because, you know, the viruses, it doesn't take very many. If you don't know who they have them, one person can be devastating.
Okay, so let me ask you, since we're having sanctuary cities and we have people screaming for open borders, and yes, Trump's controlling the border better than before, but people are still getting across our border. What possible way is there to screen people from coming into our country?
You know what?
This is where all the insanity just piles up and beats head on.
And Bob, right now, there's probably little we can do because as Trump has been, it took a while, but the combination of provisions he's put into place, the agreements he's gotten with Latin American countries, with Mexico, have radically reduced the flow across
the
border.
But some are still going to come across, and some may come across with coronavirus.
Exactly, and you know what? We don't know that. We can just hope that they're not. And then, of course, if we start to see people coming across the border, because we will pick up some of the people that sit a certain profile, it'll give us a warning. But really, there's in this day and age, it's very difficult to stop something like this.
Well, ironically, this may just be what it takes to wake people up, but I mean...
Yeah, it's going to be an awful way to wake up.
Yeah, it would be horrible if it happened in such an awful way.
And then even beyond something intentional, and I know people will say that this is, you know, crazy talk to some degree, but I would not put it past the Chinese government to be involved with something intentional at all.
Or perhaps there was some kind of biological warfare experiment that just went awry. You know, could be something like that.
There is a level 4 bioweapons lab in the Wuhan province, and that actually was doing lots of work on corona type viruses, and that the immunity of bats, certain type of viruses. There was a lead guy there, Zhao, I believe was his name, who was involved with that. Now, this is all speculation, but once again, and I do believe that the Trump administration has people now looking at the coronavirus to see if there's signs of bioengineering. Maybe there isn't. But to sit there and say absolutely categorically that there's no way this could be the case,
we don't know, but we should be open to all possibilities.
That is really silly. Anybody who says they're categorically there's no way that this could be, I don't think it is intentional, but something got loose. I think that that's a very naive,
well, I don't believe unrealistic conspiracy view of the world. Theories, but there have been a lot of times where I've warned people of things over the years and people have said, oh, you're crying wolf, you're being extreme. And every time it's actually happened. So no, we don't automatically assume, but we don't just tell people it can't happen either.
So speaking of this, I'm going to make a prediction. It's kind of similar to the kind of predictions you make. So, but basically I'm going to predict that starting from now, moving forward in the next weeks and months, you're going to see a concerted effort by the media and the press
to blame the coronavirus on Donald Trump.
Yes.
Oh, of course.
Now that won't be.
Is there the slightest doubt in your mind?
No, it will be the especially if it starts to gain traction in the United States, it will be because his administration did not do enough to stop it. In fact, his administration, because they cut back some staff in certain areas, the reason it was able to spread is because the staff was cut back. And there's already been some articles written to that effect.
Yeah, and some Yahoo will probably try to relate it to global warming somehow, too, even though that's impossible, but I wouldn't put it past them.
I'm sure I could think of some kind of weird way.
When they say an island can sink because there's too many people on it, they can say anything.
Right. So that's one of the things we're going to see here. So the Democrats are definitely, the Democrats are firm believers, never let a disaster go.
A
good crisis go to waste. Exactly. So they're definitely going to be using this. And I think that President Trump's been doing the right thing so far. I really just hope it does not break loose because, as I said, we don't know what the ultimate fatality rate of this is going to be yet. And it could end up being pretty terrible.
And if it happens under his presidency, then people will start, even though it makes zero sense,
right,
they'll start thinking, oh, we need a change in the administration.
Exactly. I mean, this is obviously the fact that it could, end up killing thousands of people is the main concern, but it's certainly not something that President Trump, is exactly excited about from a political perspective, and we shouldn't be either. So they're working on some vaccines. They have an accelerated schedule. But I think even the most optimistic is it's over a year. It's a year to 2 years. 2 years is aggressive. Some people may be thinking something miraculous could be done in a year, but that's still a long time. So that's just, that's just one area there. Now, kind of switch topics here, is we just had the Nevada caucus. And the one thing we're sure of is that Bernie Sanders won, and he won going away. We won't know for a long time as to exactly the exact apportionment of the delegates, because there has been significant irregularities. So it's not going to be as bad as what we saw with New Hampshire, but the Iowa caucus, exactly. But Bernie Sanders, a lot of people think he's positioned to win.
Now, do you think, I do believe they're going to try to take the nomination from him again. So I guess my question to you would be, do you think they will succeed in doing that?
I don't know. I do know that that you have to walk into the convention and get the nomination. You have to have a majority of the delegates. And right now, they were asking if, all the nominees, not the nominees, but those running, the candidates on the Democrat side, if they would accept, getting behind the person who has the most votes. And the only one that said they would get behind the candidate that has the most votes was Bernie Sanders.
Everybody else said, expecting to have the most.
Everybody else said that, well, we'll just follow the process. And it is, frankly, a majority process. So once you get to that process, let's say Bernie Sanders walks in there with 35-40% of the votes, not a majority. The question is there enough anti-Bernie people among the other 60% to come together and take the nomination?
Here's what I'm hoping. I think it would be wrong if they try to steal the nomination from him, but if they do, the Sanders people will stay home and the election goes to Trump. If they don't, I believe the so-called moderate Democrats are going to say, well, better Sanders than Trump. So I kind of hope they try to play around with it. We'll be right back.
Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480-539. W&S Electric.
Check out these terrific customer reviews for Bob Siegel's science fiction novel, Push the Winds Around. Another winner from Mr. Siegel. I've always loved the time travel stories, and this one takes a creative approach. Like H.G. Wells' classic, it delves into morals and metaphysics. And as any good time travel mystery, it leaves you satisfied while raising questions at the same time. Here's another review. Quick, thought-provoking, enjoyable read. And just one more. My kind of book. Adventure, fun, excitement, suspense, time travel, love, and a day at the beach. What's not to like? A great book to lose yourself in. Happy reading. Push the Winds Around. Available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to the Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So back to the convention. So it would be a contested nomination.
Do you think Hillary's going to try to swoop in again?
I don't know. But the number that Bernie Sanders would need was 1991. Now, if that does not happen, then we go to a process where the delegates that were originally pledged to the candidates that are pledged to can now vote for somebody else.
Yeah.
They're released.
And then, I felt from the beginning that the people we've been seeing up on the stage, that none of them are going to be the one that goes with the nomination. I don't know who it's going to be, but I've always felt it wasn't going to be any of the original contenders.
It could be somebody sweeping in. You could be right, Bob. I don't know. But then comes in the super delegates. And so that's
what makes somebody a super delegate. We heard that a lot in the last election. Let's be clear to our audience. What exactly is a super?
They basically, these are delegates chosen by the Democratic National Committee that operate independently of the state organizations. They're roughly allocated.
So they can always vote from the beginning any way they want?
They have the ability to be flexible in how they vote.
Super delegates. Are they vulnerable to kryptonite? Is there any way to take them?
You'd have to get something, a major rules change,
okay,
which probably takes 2/3 or something of that nature.
Where is Lex Luthor and Brainiac when we need them?
Boy. Exactly. So basically, what happened then is you'd have the delegates released, and then the new number at that point in time, because there's 3,979 regular delegates, and then there's 771 super delegates. So when you take half of the 771 and half of the 3,979, the new majority number that the new nominee has to get is 2,375 and a half. So 2,376, I guess. Or they said this time to round it up, but basically about 2,375. So if the Democrat Party bosses control the superdelegates, that does give them something to work with to manipulate things away from Bernie Sanders. Or it could be that really that for whatever reason, there still really truly is a solid majority of people. I mean, if Bernie comes in with 35 or 40%, that means 50, 60% of the people don't want him.
I don't believe Biden's going to win North Carolina, or is it South Carolina?
South Carolina is that his firewall.
Yeah, I know he's counting on that. It's his firewall, the black vote. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's going to go to Bernie again. Maybe Buttigieg, but probably Bernie.
No, it won't go to Buttigieg.
I don't believe it's going to go to Biden.
There's no way it goes to Buttigieg. What's happening is Tom Steyer is apparently eating in. He's spending a lot of money. He's eating into the black support for Biden. Biden was counting heavily on black support. Yeah. Buttigieg is not getting black support.
It's not going to happen. Biden's not going to be the nominee.
No, I don't think he is. However, I will say this, is he lasted longer than I think he thought he was going to. I did not think he would last this long.
He's such a bumbling Neanderthal. I'm surprised his political career has lasted as long as it has, period.
Well, that's a sign of how desperate they are from anybody other than who's running. Because the other people are running on such... Now, he's, unfortunately, has just shown no backbone or integrity and has just gone with the flow on almost every issue.
Yeah, he's changed every position.
So it's there. But so, yeah. So Biden... excuse me. I think that in South Carolina. At the bare minimum, if he does win, it will be far, far weaker than what he was expecting. But if he does not win, then he is out of the race.
I would bet money that he's not going to win.
Okay, well, then he's out of the race.
If he doesn't win there, he doesn't win anywhere.
Now, Bob, I'm going to ask you this question. So we of course, both of us did not, at least I think you didn't, I think you agree with me, we did not expect Biden to last this long. It was kind of amazing.
Yeah.
What do you think finally took him out?
Well, I think it is a combination. Certainly, the Hunter stuff did not help him, and probably the Democrats by trying to impeach Trump for his comments about Hunter, that forced the mainstream media to keep going with that as a headline. However, he's said and done some awfully stupid things, and I'm not convinced that even without the Hunter stuff, he wouldn't be out anyway.
I believe that he's heading out a bit earlier than he would be because of the impeachment and the Hunter stuff.
Yeah, it's very
possible. At the bare minimum.
Very possible.
At the bare minimum. Because it was, you said, by having it in the impeachment hearings, it was over and over and over.
It forced MSNBC and CNN to talk about something that they never, ever would have talked about otherwise.
And no matter what the left said or no matter what Democrats said about there was no evidence, even the most naive person looks at the situation and kind of goes, oh, come on. They don't believe it.
You get the impression that Trump's just playing them all like a fine violin, even daring them to impeach him. It just seems like no matter what they try, they end up, he opens the door and they walk right in. That's the way it seems.
Well, there is that aspect. I mean, he has his moments of brilliance. He also has his moments of non-brilliance.
I could do without some of the tweets. Not that I'm going to turn on him like Clint Eastwood did, but I'm forced to agree with William Barr when he says the tweets don't help, although I could have done without William Barr going on national television and saying that too. So I kind of see both sides of that.
However, think about that. By William Barr going on national television and saying that, he
destroyed their narrative that he's working under for Trump.
Right. He created a little bit.
Although he is working for Trump.
Well, he is.
But controlled and manipulated by Trump.
And you know what? I mean, I doubt this was coordinated. But
if it was beautifully coordinated.
Right, it was beautifully coordinated. So
now, I assume you don't think there's anything to the rumors that Barr's thinking of resigning?
Apparently, those rumors have been squashed.
Okay, good.
And having seen
I hope not. He seems like the first person that's serious.
Although
Andrew McCabe didn't get indicted, so no. I'm not too hopeful either.
Well, we'll have to, and I say that was really not, that was,
especially when we hear that the same week as what happened to
that was discouraging.
Trump's other friend,
I have to
who
say
got,
I,
who
I,
got the
I don't know how to explain that
4 years or 3.5 years,
but yes, that was discouraging. So having seen William Barr talk at length at some functions and things like that, I am pretty convinced that he came back because he really wants to clean things up.
That's true, but is he getting so frustrated with Trump that he may just bag it?
Well, I think he may be a little frustrated with Trump.
He must have known what he was getting into, though. Okay, well, will he leave, will he not leave? These and other things we'll discuss when we return to the Bob Siegel Show. This is Bob Siegel. Looking for a church? Maybe not. Perhaps you've had your fill of churches. Maybe you even grew up in the church. Maybe as a kid you were dragged to Sunday school against your will. Maybe you used to throw spit wads as Mrs. Pumpernickel tried desperately to interest you in the missionary journeys of the Apostle Paul. You may have grown up listening to long sermons, anxiously looking at your watch to see how much of the game you were missing at home on TV as the pastor made his 97th point. Or perhaps you were not raised as a Christian at all. Instead, you have merely encountered Christians. Maybe some obnoxious personality tried to shove the gospel down your throat using all the tact of a lawnmower in a barber shop. Well, my friend, perfect Christians don't exist because perfect people don't exist. That's why Jesus died for our sins. So I'm not going to tell you that the people of Skyline Church are perfect. I'm just going to tell you that we come real close. No, actually, you'll just find people who struggle with life the same as you. But we're honest about the struggle, and we help each other with the struggle. What you will find is a church that takes the love of Jesus Christ seriously. After all, his message is one of mercy and inclusion, and we don't need 97 points to talk about God. Ask anybody. Our sermons have never made more than 96 points.
Skyline Church.
About this question that I guess was floated by the mainstream media, perhaps invented by them, that Barr's thinking of quitting, and you were in the middle of commenting on that.
No, I think that he's really, really committed to staying, and it would take a lot to get him to step down.
And he must have known already that Trump's going to tweet and do things like that.
He seems to be a very shrewd,
but what do you
smart
think
guy.
Of this thing with McCabe? Now, one of the only excuse, well, I'm hearing two possible excuses. One is that they're hoping to get him for something better, but I keep hearing that, and I'm not seeing it. The other is that it just doesn't stand a chance in a district court in Washington, D.C. But the problem is, if that's true, then they're not going to be able to prosecute anybody, at least none of the guys way on top. They may go after some low-level people, but we need to see Comey in jail. We need to see McCabe in jail. These people on the intelligence.
Clapper and Brennan.
Absolutely. I don't think it's going to happen, Mike.
If it doesn't happen, Bob, then our country's in serious trouble.
I know it is. But this thing with McCabe, it wasn't a very good sign.
Now, I mean, I could try to paint a positive picture and say that this is all part of a bigger plan. Misdirection and to lull the Democrats into a false sense of security before the hammer falls. I hope that's the case.
How much do you think Barr himself wants to protect the Justice Department since he's kind of cut from that same cloth? I mean, is there a point where he may just be a little bit part of the deep state himself? I say that as one who has liked him up to now, but I have to admit I'm getting concerned.
Bob, I do not know. I do not know. I do not know, you know, how to read
his
mind.
You're a bright guy. That's why we bring you on your show. I know this. If you don't know, nobody knows.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure Mr. Barr knows.
Do you feel optimistic yourself, or how are you feeling about it?
I am not giving up hope, but I was discouraged by the McCabe thing, especially in contrast with poor Roger Stone.
Yeah, to hear Roger Stone's sentence on that same week when we know for a fact that, putting aside they're lying about the FISA warrant and being part of an investigation, the average time for a person being put away for rape, I heard, is 2 to 3 years. And she did lower the sentence a little bit, but he's still getting almost 4 years.
Yes.
And we have the woman that was head of the jury, who never should have been put on that jury, tweeting about this. I mean, this is outrageous.
There should be a whole new trial. And it should be pulled out of this judge, is her name McCarthy or what?
She's an Obama judge. Of course, Chief Justice Roberts likes to lecture us. There's no Obama judges. There's no Trump judges. Baloney.
Yeah, so he did not have a fair trial. Even the 40 months that he got was not fair.
That's better than the 9 years. I was at least grateful for that. But good grief, I know he lied, but so did McCabe. And McCabe lied about more important.
A lot of the
things.
Stuff that they have him on is really minor stuff.
In fact, it was process crime, and that's what bugs me.
For a crime that never happened. It was a process crime related to a whole investigation that was bogus to begin
with. Our country believes we're going to have a two-tier justice system, and that makes it ripe for a civil war. I'm telling you.
No, it does. It does. So that the average, for that type of crime, the average sentence is 9 months, by the way, Bob. Nine months.
Yeah.
So she still dinged him. And this business with the threats about the dog, you know, killing the guy's dog, even the guy who had the threat knew he was joking. And he even told them, I don't want to go after him because I knew he was joking.
It doesn't matter. He was guilty before the trial even started.
Of course. And they were going to So the goal here, of course, is to have this patina, this aura that, you know, the Trump associates are going down. And then they'll talk about the Russia investigation, even though that has nothing to do with Russia. And they're hoping that that a certain percentage, enough of the percentage of the people in the country don't pay attention and say, oh, there was Russian investigations. People didn't get convicted. Therefore, it was convicted for the Russia collusion.
Look at these people that went to jail. It must have been true.
Yeah, exactly. So if we continue down the path there, I mean, it's hard to imagine Bernie coming back very strongly. I mean, not Bernie, but Biden. And so we're going down the path here of Bernie Sanders, and we get to a Bernie Sanders, Donald Trump.
Yeah, I think about half of our country is not afraid of socialism and actually likes it. And I think Bernie could actually give Trump a run for his money. I'm not one of these confident people that thinks it's going to be a blowout. That's what everyone was saying about Trump. That's what everyone was saying before. There's no way he's going to get the nomination. I think it could go to Bernie. I think Bernie could win. I'm not saying he will win, but I don't think conservatives should take anything for
granted. No, and even Donald Trump, I think there's two different rallies. I've heard him sort of use the same thing.
Don't relax.
No, I should be up by 15 or 20 points, but right now it looks like it's going to be a competitive race. It shouldn't be, because I should be way ahead. If the press was fair, I should be way ahead.
And right now the media wants a more moderate Democrat, but if Bernie gets the nomination, they will get behind him.
No, he becomes a moderate Democrat if he gets the nomination.
In the media, the
media will cover for him on everything he's ever done and everything he's ever said. But I think he's been out there long enough that, and he's got a rabid enough supporters, that it's going to be hard to paint him as a moderate. So there was an article, and I wasn't reading the Atlantic, but I came across it when I was searching on some stuff. Atlantic's usually pretty left-wing, the magazine. But the guy was saying that when he first was, you know, people were talking about the McGovern, Bernie Sanders analogy, he was like, oh, that's ridiculous, it's silly, the country's changed. But since then, he's changed his tune. You know, he'd talk about a Northeastern senator, senior senator, both of them that. One that was, you know, that wanted, you know, health care, single-payer health care. I mean, the platforms are very similar for McGovern and...
But our country's in a very different place.
A base of support from young people going against a president the press despises.
But don't you think our country is, I do agree that our country's in a much different place than we were at
McGovern. It is. However, that doesn't mean, though, that now that meme, I think it ended up with McGovern getting one state, his state that he's from.
I do think that if Trump goes against Sanders, he will win. I think Trump's going to win no matter who he goes up against, unless Michelle Obama gets into the race. But I don't think we should relax and take Sanders for granted.
I agree.
I'm not assuming that's going
to happen. No, and when you look at the polls, you know, people have gotten to this point saying the polls were completely wrong heading into the, you know, the 2016 election. And to some degree they were, but the polls are not completely irrelevant. And right now, one of the areas I would see Trump really focus on and discipline himself to do is to go after, to do some stuff to really reach out to the women's vote, because he really
needs to.
That's
true. He's doing great with Latinos, great with African Americans, but yeah, with the women, yeah, they some of them like that touchy feely stuff. They just can't handle it when someone's a little crusty.
And I can't understand why they don't like Trump then.
Really. Yeah, I know. They don't like that bull in a china cabinet. We'll be right back.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. We are down to our last segment with National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So I would like to see the Trump campaign really focus not just on the wins vote, but also continue to aggressively reach out to the Black Americans, Hispanic Americans, everybody like that. And we don't need, Donald Trump doesn't need to be talking about, gleefully talking about killing terrorists. He can talk about taking about, that's part of what he can be doing.
Well, you know, he's killed a few, so he doesn't have to talk about that
right.
as much.
Right, but everybody knows that. He also doesn't have to talk about how tough he is and being tough, because it's not really, that does not really appeal to a good chunk of the female vote.
He tends to do that when other people posture, though. The Robert De Niro, Joe Biden says, boy, if I was in high school, I would have taken him behind the locker room. Trump is not going to let a comment like that
go by.
But
it's just a style thing, and I don't know if it can be changed. But
I don't think so. I don't think he's going to change his spots.
The thing is that, and this is a generalization, but the women's vote and generally is concerned about security issues. And I'm not necessarily talking about national security, though women are very concerned about the military national security.
Is security concerned like, about like health care,
economic security, health care,
yes,
things like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
So Trump has a very good case to make on that. So he really needs to emphasize why he's the secure vote, the vote to security. Yes, he's maybe brash, but he's really doing the things that create the security and then create the fear, uncertainty, doubt around Bernie as being the unsecure vote, the vote that is scary. He's the scary vote.
That would really be good. Yeah, you know, in fact, he should
unsecure.
He should stop with the crazy Bernie and come up with something like scary Bernie. You hear that, Mr. President? You heard it here first.
Yes.
Scary Bernie, that's got to be the new nickname.
No, it is actually, I actually do think
be
it's
very accurate.
It actually may
not
be.
Not that he isn't crazy too, but scary is more accurate.
He's crazy and he's scary. He's crazy, he's scary because he's crazy, but he's crazy.
And he talks just like Larry David, but I'd rather have Larry David for president than Bernie if I had to make that choice.
No. So he needs to create the fear, uncertainty, doubt around Bernie. And Bernie's got plenty of material around him to do that.
Well, you know, one of the few places in the debate where Bloomberg, I thought, had a good moment was when he mentioned that Bernie's got three houses and is himself a millionaire.
Right.
And have you noticed Bernie used to speak against millionaires? Since this came out about his three houses, he's subtly changed it to billionaires. He's not against millionaires anymore. Now he's against billionaires. Good one, Bernie.
Well, at least he has enough sense to do that.
Yeah. Well, he was smart enough to do that. I don't think he's smart enough to run the country, though.
Now, the other thing here is that it's not statistically unlikely. I mean, can Bernie Sanders make it through a presidential campaign at this point?
Yeah. You mean the primary or the general election?
Once the general starts. Even the primary, but the general for sure.
Oh, you mean in terms of his health?
Yes.
Well, boy, they're all up there. Bloomberg's up there. Trump's up there, except he's pretty healthy
except
for
Bernie
his age.
Just had a heart attack.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
And he's older than Trump. I think he's 78.
Yeah.
So it's...
You know what the pundits on TV have attributed Trump's good health to. The man doesn't care. Therefore, he's not under as much stress. That's why he's doing better physically than other presidents. Boy, that spin machine just goes 24/7. There's nothing they won't try to float out there.
No, President Trump, Donald Trump, the energy that he has is just awe-inspiring. I mean, it's just amazing.
He really has done more in his 3 years than any president in our history has done in their 8 years. He really has.
No, he has. And,
Well, I should say Obama did a lot, but I didn't care much for anything he was doing.
Well, he did get the 100% partisan Obama health care through.
Yes, he did. He did do that. He jammed that down everybody's throat.
So that's, you know, that's when you change something like that should have been bipartisan, but it wasn't. It was 100% partisan.
But they called it bipartisan while they were doing it. They kept using the word bipartisan.
Yes.
So we're supposed to believe that since they kept using that word, that's what it was.
So the Democrats are going to be hammering on health care. They believe that really helped them in 2018. So they're going to come back with that again. We need to have good answers to that. I mean, Donald Trump, here's the thing that's very ironic. Donald Trump has done enough things by executive order and changing regulations around that he's actually helped mitigate the negative effects of Obamacare. So people are saying, oh, Obamacare's not that bad. But that's because what Donald Trump has done, because he's actually tried to help people. But now people are saying, oh, Obamacare's not that bad. And they're not at the same time correlating the reason it's not that bad is because of what President Trump has done. He has done a lot to mitigate the effects of Obamacare.
And then there's other things he's done with his executive orders. It's been nothing more than overturning Obama's executive orders, and they're trying to claim that he doesn't have the constitutional authority to do it. Obama, of course, did have the constitutional authority.
Yeah, so it's ironic you're talking about that. The hypocrisy, Justice Sotomayor came out, I think yesterday, blasting the court for bias.
For being biased. Some of her first words when she came on the bench was that a Latino woman can be more fair than a white male. That was not a biased comment. Give me a break.
So, and that completely ignores that within the first 3 years of the Trump administration, there's been something like 50 injunctions by lower courts. In that same time period under the Obama administration, there was two. And these injunctions are lower courts shutting down the entire country.
Judges that want their 15 minutes of fame. That's all it is.
So activist judges. So the activism has 100% been on the side of the left and the activist judges. And the Supreme Court has been very slowly and methodically reversing some of that. The Supreme Court is still lagging behind, but it is trying to mitigate the effect of these activist judges.
Yeah, but Mike, don't you understand? It's not activism when the left does it. When the left does it, it's moderate and mainstream. It's only activism when the right does it.
So Clarence Thomas has even formally suggested that they need to think about some way to maybe talk about the jurisdiction of these lower courts. Maybe there just needs to be a formal declaration that a lower court does not have the ability to do a national injunction. They shouldn't.
Yeah, because maybe they can make a ruling, but nothing should go into effect until it's gone up to the top.
Or if it does, it's just in the region that they cover. They can't do a national injunction.
Yeah, it's a crazy.
It's been crazy there. So that, you know, that there's just so many factors going into this. So as I said, it's uncharted waters. We've never had a president, that's gone through the savaging in the media with a 724 meter cycle. I mean, obviously the other president I think has been under fire was Lincoln.
Yeah, except that the media wasn't as vast and tentacled.
It wasn't 724.
And people around the country weren't made privy to all of it.
Right, they didn't have social media.
They couldn't read whatever newspaper was writing about Lincoln.
So yes, that you could do a wild rumor about him, but you know it would take the wild rumor, but you'd get it 6 months later on the other side of the country. I mean, literally in some cases, probably. So
he's so much like Lincoln. Someday in the future, if history goes the way it should, at Disneyland in Main Street, they're going to have great moments with Mr. Trump.
Yes. Well, yes.
Then we'll all go out ice skating because hell will have frozen over.
Yes, on a Trump ring.
Yeah, there you go. on an ice ring owned by Donald Trump. All right. Well, Mike, I know you were a little bit under the weather today. You came on anyway. I sure appreciate that. We will see you, everybody, next week.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.